Hey friends, welcome back to the Amber May Show. So glad to have you here joining me today. We are going to talk about community schools because they're going to sell you on this community schools that it's like the best thing ever for your child, for your community. But there's a dark side that they're not going to tell you about. But on this episode, we are going to break down what the community schools are all about. So pay attention to this show. Please like, share, and subscribe. Join me on Telegram. I always add more content there. You can find me at The Amber May Show on Telegram. You can find me on True Social Amber May or Frank Social Amber May or Clout Hub. And then check out the links below. I have partnered with businesses to help save you money. So please check those out. That way we are voting with our wallet and it's a win-win situation for everyone. We're supporting Patriot businesses. They're giving you a discount and it's also helping The Amber May Show. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider going to the website, theambermayshow.com. Click the donate button and donate whatever you feel like you can donate. Or you can become a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. So I'm excited for today's show. Please, again, like, share, and subscribe. It's going to be a two-part series on the show. So here we go. Hey, guys, welcome. Like I told you, we're going to dive into community schools. And like I said, joining me is Devin Undergraff Day. So welcome. I'm so excited to have you to the program. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So you ran for school board here in my area. And what I love about you and your running mate was able to make it onto the school board. And you and your running mate come and educate our legislative district on a regular basis with what's going on in education. I'm so grateful that you've stayed and you've kept your finger on the pulse of education. So I want to get into community schools. So tell me, I have all your slides, but just really briefly on a high level, tell me about the community schools and then we can go into your slideshow to say why we want to really think about having our kids enroll in these schools.
Yeah, absolutely. So community schools, if you kind of comes through the CDC was where it's first been seen. The CDC has created a model. If you look at it, similar to other SEL, social emotional learning type models, specifically CASEL. But the CDC has this new goal, I guess you could say, for all public schools is it's called whole school, whole community, whole child. And what they ultimately want to do is come in and create medical clinics that would do, it would take over well checks, vaccines, sexual health, and overall psychological help as well. So taking over the whole role of the family, which we know has been a goal for some time, but we mm-hmm. never knew quite how it would be implemented or funded. And that's where the CDC, Medicaid, the Department of Education come in.
You know who I think I'm pretty sure you know who Senator Schaefer is. She wrote a big report on the CPS child trafficking that's happening. And one of the things she said is the low income families were the most victimized by CPS only because they didn't have the means to hire an attorney. And I could see them preying on the lower income families as a way like, oh, we know you can't afford this, so we're going to just offer it to you. And most parents aren't going to think twice because, you know, the schools are predominantly a trusted institution, especially teachers. We all grew up with those teachers that are our favorites, ones we really liked. We have fond memories of them. And so if you don't dive into it on the surface, they're going to paint this like it's this wonderful thing. And so on today's episode, I want to deep dive into that. What's your thoughts on that part? Like, do you think...
Absolutely agree. And that's exactly what they're doing. So with Medicaid, you'd say, well, how do they know that the child's on Medicaid? Well, we believe it's through the discounted lunch program is how they're kind of identifying. Mm. And thing is with parents, not only is it that they trust, but they also just don't know. They don't know that they're making charges, Medicaid's covering all these expenses for pretty much, it looks like all Medicaid students to cover. And ultimately they want everybody. So there are some cases where they are covering for Medicaid looks like they're probably covering for all students for certain charges, but yeah, they're definitely wanting the Medicaid.
So let me
students
share,
and then therefore discounted lunch.
Let me share. That's a good point. Are you able to see the PowerPoint?
Yes.
Okay. So I thought that we could go through this slide. Tell me, do I need to go to the next slide? Is that just the opening slide?
Yeah, that's just the opening
Okay.
one.
All right. So here we go. So this one.
Right, so we start off. So this PowerPoint is set up to basically kind of show the story of how we got to where we are today with our understanding. So first off, you've got the Social Workers Association of America. Now, they do a lot of training. They do a lot of the continuing medical education for social workers, school social workers specifically. And if you look, and we'll kind of go into some slides, but their vision is really activism based. It's all the equity, inclusion, all of those problematic topics, issues, and propaganda that we're seeing everywhere is full force in Social Workers Association of America. So if you go to the next slide, this is going to be some examples of kind of where they're coming from.
And I want to say something really quickly. The equity, diversity, and inclusion, it sounds really good, but their meanings are so different than what it sounds like. Equity is not the same as equality. Diversity, I have had one journalist say that diversity, they're not looking at like a plethora of all kinds of different type of people. They're looking at people that have the same belief system as them. And equity and inclusion, you would think, oh, everyone's going to be welcome. So they're the way they twist the words and the meaning. So we have to be very careful with what do they mean by this word. And so I would encourage you, as you hear these terms, social emotional learning, go and really do a deep dive. What are they really trying to say? Because on the surface, it sounds great, but
We're
might
even
not.
seeing universities for job applications for professors that they have to sign equity and inclusion type agreements that they're going to go along with what the university, things like Berkeley, for example, believe in. So, and then yeah, they're looking for a certain individual, and it is equity, not equality. So we're seeing the elimination of grades because that's not fair. We have some kids that have an A. Even in Peoria, they do not do valedictorians anymore.
What?
They want it, no, because that's not fair that you're gonna, reward one student who's worked so hard. I joked with Heather that, I mean, yeah, it's horrible. They're gonna encourage hard work and success and competition. I mean, you
Oh
don't
my
want any
gosh,
of that,
this
but
is the
that's what they're doing.
epitome of communism. This is
Yeah.
communism. Those that don't do anything, take from those that do. I mean, now where's the ambition for those really bright children to want to strive to the brightest, to make it to the very top of their school, to be the valedictorian? Where's the competition in that? You start taking that away, then we have nothing to strive for. I
Yeah,
mean,
and that's what they
nothing
want.
to put us above and beyond. It's terrible. This is 101 communism right here. This is what I'm hearing. Take from
Yeah.
the haves and give it to the have-nots. Okay. So what's this slide about?
So this is from the Social Workers of America Association, directly from their website. So what they believe is these are the resources that they feel the school social workers should be using and bringing into schools. So you've got stamped. That is kind of the new history, right? The history where it begins at 1619, where the Revolutionary War, according to them, was about the slaves, which is completely incorrect. It's all about race. It's going to be about gender, the LGBTQ focus, and sexuality. A lot of sexuality in these books. So these are all, this again, directly from their website of what they're pushing for social workers in schools to be bringing into the schools.
And I just don't see this as a parent that this is educational. Sex education, how you want to raise your children should be up to you and your child, and the teachers shouldn't really talk about that with your kids. I really don't think so.
And
Whether you're gay or straight, why are we even bringing that up? Why are we?
sex education is not what it used to. So sex education used to be prevention, protection, prevention of pregnancy, protection from sexually transmitted diseases. It's now sexual education. So who are you attracted to? Different ways to have sex, masturbation. It's all of that. That's what comprehensive sex education is. And that's really the difference of what it used to be, traditional sex ed, to what it is today.
And what I was told by a teacher that retired out of California is they are saying that they will bring in experts if you are not qualified to teach. Meaning that if a teacher decides they're not going to teach about sexual position, sexual orientation, that kind of stuff, then they were going to bring someone in. And what this teacher told me is they're going to bring in Planned Parenthood, and
Oh, yeah.
Planned Parenthood is going to teach your kids about this stuff.
Yeah.
So this is the danger behind it, and I'm so glad you guys are on the precipice, telling us and warning us about what's ahead, what's here, affecting our children's education. Let's see. Okay, this one.
So again, this is where it's going to say the most important an intimate aspect of self-determined is a person's identification and sexual orientation, gender. So again, this is the priority of the School Work Association of America. Not, I really honestly don't feel that social workers have a place in schools. This was very confused. I'm in medical. I also did my undergrad was sociology and anthropology. So this is, I'm very confused by this whole push for social workers in schools because it's not how I understood the role of social workers. When I was studying for sociology, and how my experience with social workers in medicine, as well as my husband, who has worked emergency medicine, he's had a lot of interactions with social workers in the emergency department. And this is how they're being implemented in schools is not the traditional role that we are familiar with. So it's very unusual as a complete whole, but to be bringing them in tremendous numbers and spending a substantial amount of money, including classroom funds. We have learned that through public records and through the breakdown of many of the safety grants that the districts have to disclose, that they're using classroom funds to cover a lot of the benefits and expenses of social workers.
And you're right. I studied sociology too. This is not what I would expect a social worker to be doing. I expect her to do like, or him to do like therapy, like help people with therapy issues, or help them navigate how we're going to pay for, medical bills, things like this. And what Senator Schaefer said, and she wrote this report in early 2000s, she said social workers are the glue that holds the whole process together. So I think they're misusing that whole entire line of workers to, because that was going to be tied into the trafficking of CPS. They had to use social workers to start doing that. And I see this is hap I see that could happen here at the schools, where these social workers could use CPS. According to Senator Schaefer and her report, and I encourage you guys to watch it, and it's on my website. If you go to theambermayshow.com, go to child trafficking, you're going to be able to find her report and don't and read it for yourself. But I think that report ties into what this is going on, because you're adding a whole bunch more social workers. So what happens if I don't want to say that my son is a girl and my girl is a boy? Are they going to take my kid away from me? Are they going to think that's abuse? I think those are family matters. I don't think a teacher should have to deal with that. This is not
And that's
education.
a
It's not
concern.
ABCs, math, or history, or anything.
And we are having reports of that. We've had, I believe, three parents at this time where they have had concerning issues with the social workers kind of interfering and then calling Child Protective Services. We even have a case where Child Protective Services was called because the child had been spanked. I was spanked as a kid. Kid was fine. They also went to school. This is, I believe, a second grader, so a little child. So you're talking 7, 8. I went to school and said they were hungry. Well, my kids say there's no food at the house. That was what the child said. Now, my kids say that all the time because they
Yeah.
don't have the food that they want.
Right.
If it's a, I wanted red Doritos, not the blue Doritos. So there's no food in the house. Well, the police came, they cleared the parent, saying everything's fine, and CPS came back and actually took the child anyways.
Hey, I'm gonna get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm gonna take a quick break. Are you looking for a doctor you can trust? Then look no farther than Dr. Meehan, and you can find him at meehanmd.com. That's MEEHAN as in Nancy, MD.com for all your health care, supplemental, and telemed needs. And you know what my family did? We shopped at his supplemental store and we purchased these two items to help support our gut health. These are supporting our gut health because you know what? The gut health is so important. Our immune system is in the gut. Our serotonin's made in the gut. And so the most Americans, if you know, have a leaky gut. So if you're looking to improve your health, whether you're improving your gut health or your immune system, or you just have something that you need to talk to a physician about, go to mehammd.com. That's M-E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, MD.com. And while you're there, make sure you use the promo code AMBER so you can save some money. And while you're at the website, make sure you set up your telemed appointment and then check out all his supplements that he offers as well. That's mehammd.com. Use promo code AMBER at checkout.
Hello, this is Tanya Joy from Beauty for Ashes, and you are watching The Amber May Show.
Are you getting tired of woke companies trying to destroy our country and strip off us all of our freedoms? Big Mobile is no exception. In fact, we should be calling them Woke Mobile. Did you know that Big Mobile gives tens of millions of dollars each year to organizations that are trying to take away the very freedoms that you and I are working so hard to defend? It's time to do something about it. So here's the good news. Do you have a choice in the matter, and is there an alternative? Well, Patriot Mobile is the America's only Christian conservative wireless provider who shares your values. They offer the very best in nationwide coverage on 4G and 5G LTE networks and an exceptional 100% base customer support. So Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar they earn to conservative organizations that fight for our freedoms. They support organizations like First Liberty, Turning Point USA, Susan B. Anthony List, the NRA, Folds of Honor, Students for Life of America, and many more. And this year, they're going to give more than $1.5 million to conservative causes. And with your help, they aim to double that next year. So the time is now. Our votes are no longer enough. We must stand together and support other like-minded companies and share our beliefs and values. Your cell phone is one way we can stand together against the fight of the left and help make America great again. So Patriot Mobile offers discounts for veterans and first responders, NRA members, and families with multiple lines. So if you want to learn more, go to patriotmobile.com/amber. That's patriotmobile.com/amber and use promo code AMBER at checkout. You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
That is sort of a bully tactic to say you do. And I've talked to my husband about this. If you have CPS come in and say, we're taking your child because you've been flagged or because you're not going along with this gender identity or anything that the government sees fit, we're going to take your child. How do you fight that? I don't know how you fight that. You are at your knees at that point. And that's a big fear and concern.
Absolutely. I have a show with a lady that I just recently did, and she had that exact experience. She sent her kid, her brand new baby had a medical condition she wasn't familiar with because during the birth, there was a problem that happened during the birth and the physician didn't tell the mom. Now your child's brain is swelling and it kept vomiting. She took it to one doctor after another. And finally the hospital said, hey, you have shaken baby syndrome. She's like, no, I don't. And CPS came, removed the child and the other child. They were traumatized for 5 months with three different attorneys. They lost their home and everything. Yeah. And she was lucky to get it back. But this is why Senator Schaefer said they're definitely going to come after the lower income, because some of them are rent. They don't have a house to sell to fund attorneys, or they just don't have any savings at all. So, I mean, this is a thing that parents really need to keep their eye on, that this is a possibility. And just to be aware.
I also saw recently a girl that was telling her story that she had her infant, a fairly newborn baby, but she went to her pediatrician. And as she was waiting for the pediatrician came in, a woman came in and started asking questions, and it raised some red flags. And the woman was hesitant to disclose who she was, but ultimately when she asked what she was studying, she said social work. It was a social worker. So that's a concern too, that you're seeing social workers in the pediatrician's office to
son's primary care doctor, his daughter. So my son's primary care doctor has a child, a daughter, a grown adult, and she just didn't want to vaccinate her child. The pediatrician called a social worker on her. And her dad had to go down there and talk doctor to doctor and was able to like get all that taken care of. But that really scared that family, that the possibility of that social worker coming into the pediatrician's office. I mean, just the thought of losing your kid, and you're a good parent, you're doing nothing wrong. Maybe you just have a different point of view on medicine. And you, as someone who works in medicine, you're trained to accept that, like, I'll give you the advice. And if you don't want to take the advice, then that's on you. It's not on me. Like,
yeah, it's ultimately patient's decision. It's because it's your consent.
Right. Oh, man, this is crazy. So what about this slide?
So again, this is Social Workers Association of America, and this work breaks down the laws of school district policies that require parental notification for students who may be LGBTQ, directly challenge social workers' ethical standards and self-determination. So parental rights interfere. That's how we read this. You get in the way, parents. So it'll even go into, and it might be on a different slide, but how to bypass parental rights when it comes to the child's identity or sexual preference.
What business it is of anybody else other than the parent? There used to be an unwritten rule that you don't tell me how to parent my kid, I'm not going to tell you how to parent your kid. It used to be like an unwritten rule around parents. And so it blows my mind that this is a possibility, that there are grown adults within the school system that would totally circumvent parents altogether. I think that's a frightening thought. Mental health.
Yeah, so this will be the National Center for School Mental Health. So this is going to be a similar organization to the School Social Workers of America or Association. So again, it's going to kind of break down their priorities. I can't see the slide, but
mental health promotion for all.
Yeah, so that's going to be that equity. So again, this is going to be their platform. So permit focus on Black Lives Matter, political agendas, propaganda. Those are their focuses.
This says school-based health centers and comprehensive school mental health systems, and to improve the quality of service. Why is that part underlined? Doesn't that sound good?
Oh, we did that too. We underlined it. That's our doing. And so we underlined it too. Again, that's their focus, is that the school meant social. They want their mental health clinics in the school, the school-based mental health clinics.
Wow. Why does the SSWAA and the National Center of School Mental Health matter?
So they matter because they're working directly with the Department of Education.
What?
So is with CASEL to create their platform, their focuses, their priorities. So it's important to know where these organizations are coming from, because they are, again, working directly with the Department of Education. And then Department of Education, again, it all trickles down into each state and then ultimately each district.
Here it says actively engage with NASW, the U.S. Department of Education, the White House Task Force on Education. The White House is involved. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. The Human Rights Campaign. Human rights?
Yeah.
I feel like there are human rights being violated, and I think that's the parents and the kids to be sexualized in school. And the parents for getting their rights circumvented from their kids, the American Psychological Association to develop stronger relationships with key stakeholders. Who are these key stakeholders?
Yeah, that's the ultimate question.
That's what I want to know. Yeah. This is weird. Like, I don't understand. How come we're not just, Devin, I haven't heard one thing about how they're going to strengthen education. Have you?
No, you don't hear that. You don't hear that from the National Education Association. You're not going to hear this from there. Their priority is not academics. It's not to get the kid to read, not to get an eighth grader with a second grade reading level up to standards, or a high schooler who you're graduating that can't read or do simple math. That's not the priority, which is used to be the priority of school, right? The school priority mm-hmm. was to get them ready for society. You have to mm-hmm. benefit society, which you have to do as you have to be able to get a job. That's not the priority anymore. And remember, these kids, when I heard this number, I was blown away. From kindergarten through 12th grade, they will spend about 16,000 hours in the classroom on school campuses in their lifetime. Wow. So schools matter, because how much time they have with your child.
Oh my gosh. So the indoctrination, they spend more time with the school system than they do at home. So it's really a captured group of people in our society, because the parents need to work and they think, oh, it's going to be a safe environment for my kid. They have to learn how to read and write and form sentences. But all I'm hearing is it's all mental health. It's all sexual health or sexualization of children. Here's something. The Advocacy and Legislative Action Committee wants to share resources to support states' advocacy efforts around school, social work, anti-racism, and social justice issues. Okay. That's social justice issues. For one person, it could be something, and for another person, it could be for something else. Like, it's like, we just saw Black Lives Matter here. We have critical race theory that's showing, that's teaching people how to be racist. So what they're saying and what they're doing are completely opposites. You know what Morgan Freeman said? If you don't want racism, stop talking about it. I mean, you can't fight racism with racism. You can't.
Yeah. And one thing I think is interesting, what you said prior was getting, you know, the kids you're working and that they're away from the parents. Well, ultimately, if you look back with history with the women's suffrage movement and with getting women into the workforce was, you know, you have the individuals that are protesting because they do want those rights. But the dark secret that's kind of funding that movement is that you have half the population wasn't getting taxed. So how do you get taxed under the other half population? You got to get them into work. So you got to get women working. Also, that means another benefit to not only getting the half the population that wasn't being taxed, but you get those kids younger. You get them at a younger age because those kids would have been home. They wouldn't have been in school yet. So that was kind of that dark secret that pushed a lot of the movement to get women in the workplace.
Oh, Devin, you just hit the nail on the head. I did not even think about that. You're right. How do you get kids at a young age? You take the mom away. We have, and now we don't have a two-parent household. I've been told by some experts that when they had started these social programs that didn't give any benefit to married couples, but more single parents, it gave the ability for the dads not to be present to help take care of their kid because they knew the state would do it.
That's Lyndon Johnson did that with the welfare movement.
And that hasn't benefited the kids at all because now you have a single parent trying their best to work hard, put a roof over their head. And what do they have to do? Well, they have to turn their kid over to somebody else to watch their child so that they can provide the necessary things for that kid. And they know that that mom can't do it all by herself. So she's going to be needing subsidized. And who's going to do it? Oh, government, the government, because we care for you. No, they're after your children. And you hit it. So, wow, they took an idea and they flipped it and they changed the story. Oh, women's rights, women's rights. And women bought into it. And they took the woman out of the home, money and power, and taking your kid away, like to indoctrinate your child. That's what it boiled down to. Devin, that was brilliant. Brilliant. I don't know what CASEL is. What is CASEL?
So, CASEL, when you talk about social emotional learning, so everyone's starting to become more familiar with social emotional learning. So social emotional learning it's kind of a model of how to implement in schools. There's all kinds of different companies that do social emotional learning that the school districts will bring into their district and will do a teacher training on and they'll implement. Now, it doesn't matter what name it goes by, CASEL organization owns them all. So CASEL is the power. That's kind of the mothership, you could say. So it's hidden again with all of their little brackets of social emotional learning companies, but it's all CASEL. So CASEL has... So it's social emotional learning. You can see their circle.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be interesting because we Peoria Unified had an important board meeting last night about the boys being in the girls' bathroom and locker room. And it was a heartbreaking meeting. But this is an important model here. So it has kind of the different rings as it goes into the center of their ultimate goal of what they want the outcome to be. Now, the outer portion of the ring of kind of starting to teach the kids or train the kids how they should behave. Now, of course, my ultimate question is, well, who is determining how individuals should be, should mm-hmm. act or behave? So that's a huge question. Mm-hmm. But they start that about kindergarten, first grade, and then you'll get about second, third grade, it will start becoming implementation. How do they implement that in their everyday life? And an example can be, say a second, third grader is uncomfortable with a male being in the bathroom. Well, they'll tell her that's discriminatory, that's racist, that's cruel, that's hatred. All of these horrific descriptions to that person, that is, if they have those feelings, that is how they're being trained, that that's what those feelings mean, and to brush it off. So when you see high school girls, which we're seeing today in Peoria with the Liberty girls, you've got 100 plus girls that are just distraught over this bathroom situation. They're holding their urine. They will not go for 8 hours. So because of that, now they are not fully trained, you could say. So they're pushing back. But the ultimate goal would be when my daughter is 5, that by the time she's high school, that age group won't question. They won't push back because they'll have been trained that if they have those uncomfortable feelings like the girls today at Liberty are having, that is wrong and that they should be ashamed of those feelings, which I consider to be just sick and extremely dangerous to tell a young female or any female that the inner voice that she has about a situation is wrong is just disgusting and so dangerous. And I always find it very interesting that you'll find it's usually men that are telling the young girls to accept it or get over it, which is exactly what happened last night at the Peoria board meeting. So it's wow. a very dangerous time. It's a tough time to be a girl right now.
It is. Sure. It's your spidey senses telling you, hey, danger, danger, get away yeah. from here. You know,
it's your survival.
This is what groomers do. They change your mind. Cause I just did an interview with a man who was groomed and was sexually exploited, and they get into your brain and they say, no, it's really this. And then they can attack you sexually. They could, this is all that to me rings loud and clear. This is grooming. And you know what? Teenage boys, there could be a teenage boy that's saying, I identify as a girl, has no intention of as identifying as a girl, but will say that just to see the girls naked in the gym. Or,
and that's the issue. That's the concern, is it's not so much necessarily the transgender student. Boy in the bathroom. It is the individuals that will take advantage, which we're already having. I've already heard from girls that boys, straight boys, are saying, oh, all I have to do is put a skirt on and I can see the girls naked. So they are very aware of the policy and they're very aware of how to take advantage of the policy. Mm-hmm. And that is the concern. You have vulnerable population. I always use the example predator prey. I have horses. Horses are prey animals. And I was working with a trainer years ago, and he had talked about, we deal with predators, dogs, cats. Horses are prey. They are reactive. They sense things. They're aware of their environment. So you have to work around that. You don't want to train that away from them. That's how they survive, which is exactly what we're doing. We're taking a prey animal. You could say, you don't want a gazelle to go drink water by itself. It just wander around. It's not going to end up so well for the gazelle. Same thing with females. They need that instinct to be aware of who's behind you when you're walking to your car. Of course, I say you don't want her to have a panic attack every time she goes to the parking lot, but she has to be aware. She has to know not to go down a dark alley by yourself. Those are things she needs to know. Your drinks, when you order a drink, you know, make sure you're aware of who's around it. Don't leave it alone. Those are all our realities that we've all lived. Mm-hmm. I've lived in college. I have mm-hmm. many friends that have had unfortunate experiences.
Me too.
So to tell them that that's wrong, and that feeling of going into that bathroom, it just is heartbreaking to me.
And who's to stop a male teacher from going in?
Well, there's that
identifies
too, yeah.
as a female. Yeah. I mean, where does it end? At some point, yeah. you have to draw a line in the sand and say, go no further. This will not happen. It's just unbelievable. I mean, and vice versa. I mean, the man I interviewed, he was sexually assaulted at school in a bathroom by a female teacher. Of course, this was like in the 70s, late 70s. It doesn't matter. That could still happen to boys today. So what a female teacher identifies as a boy and takes advantage of one of the kids, one of the boys in school. I mean, this is where it can go. This can, it's not just the young kids that are affected. Now the grownups. Now the grownups could be a part of this. If you're a sick, twisted individual, you know, it, so it's possible. It's the possibility is there, and we need to protect our kids. So that's insane to me. I'm so sorry for the Liberty girls.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
You're still looking good.
I'm still feeling good. You know, I've got all your MyPillow products. Mattress topper, bed sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, blankets, sleepwear, dog.
Whoa, whoa, Charles. Everyone now can get MyPillow products at huge discounts at MyPillow.com. That's right. Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to take advantage of our 3-in-1 sale. We're bringing you exciting new products, overstock specials, and closeout deals you won't find anywhere else. For example, when you buy one of our brand new MyPillow 2.0s, you get another one absolutely free. And with our overstock sale, you save 50% on our luxurious Giza Dream bed sheets. That's as low as $29.99 for the best sheets ever. And with our biggest closeout special, you get our all-season slippers for only $35. Or our sandals and slides for just $25. Quantities are limited, and once they're gone, they're gone.
I'm Clay Clark. I'm a very pale male, and you're listening to the Amber May Show. Hey!
In the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, you with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20, maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, WealthManagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like some, to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Castle, my priority investments to make an SEL plan, American Rescue Plan funding. Before we get into that, I want you to dive into just a little bit. What the heck is social emotional learning? I know there's someone out there that think it sounds great, and we probably want it until they find out what exactly social emotional learning is. You kind of touched on it, but just I just want to be clear about what social emotional learning is.
Right off the bat, it's kind of taken over the disciplinary issue. So we're kind of seeing the consequences of SEL for the fact that the kids are kind of, they're not kind of, they are completely out of control right now because there is no discipline or consequences, but they brought it in to talk about behavior. They want the kids to kind of think and act a certain way. And yeah, it can be put in a nice present of, yeah, we, of course we want children to act nice. And of course we want them to be respectful, but like anything, it's, on the outside, it can be fine, but you start digging, there's, it goes deeper, gets a lot darker. It's also micromanagement, I think, for everybody, but it's also documentation and data collection. That's huge. A lot of data collection. And you'll look at all these organizations, no matter what it is. And again, Castle kind of runs and owns them all. But if you go to their sites and then you look at the fine print and the privacy policies, you always find, because they do a lot of surveys on kids, and that's going to be all throughout the documentation, if you look up any social emotional learning, is the first thing they do is data collection on the kids. And then they'll continue that data collection on the kids. And of course, information's power, right? There's a reason why Facebook sells your information and Twitter. Mm-hmm. There's money in it. So same thing with social emotional learning. So they're coming in, they're bypassing parental rights of typically you can't survey a child without parental consent. But because it's a third party vendor, they're bypassing that. So parents don't realize they're getting surveyed. They're asking a lot of personal questions about the home life on these kids. And then again, that data goes where? And if you look at the privacy policy in the fine print, it will often say that this data, yes, it's protected, da, 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 unless sold. When it's sold, that information will go with the new buyer. And again, that's the value that those companies get, is all of that data. So that's a huge factor.
Wow.
Heather and I met with the social emotional learning team a couple of years back in Peoria and talked about kind of these frameworks and whatnot. And they gave a little card that had make eye contact, smile, say hello. I mean, really robot type training. And I told them, I said, I find this to be insulting. And I think this is insulting to a second grader that you're having to tell them these, each detail or each aspect of human behavior. And their response was, well, you know, you'd be surprised. I was a principal, and this is the example that she gave me, the principal and the woman at the meeting. She said, there were boys, they went in the bathroom and they threw spitballs. And I laughed at her and I said, I'm sorry. Are you telling me that if it was on this card here, don't throw spitballs, that those boys wouldn't have done that? I said, they're boys. That's what they do. Don't tell me you could put it on a card and drill it into them to not act that way. But they want robots. They want activist robots.
I remember sitting in chemistry class, and I was so mad at where I had to sit in chemistry class because the two boys behind me brought stink bombs to chemistry class, and the whole room stunk. Yeah. My teacher was.
If that was on a card, with that, don't bring stink bombs. No, they wouldn't have cared because they're boys. That's what they do.
I mean, they were laughing so hard, or trying not to laugh, but they're laughing because the teacher was obviously a veteran at teaching, and he was a male teacher, so he totally expected stink bombs, and he just continues going in the class, keeps teaching, and it didn't matter that the stink bombs went off and were all miserable. Didn't matter. He wasn't going to give those boys the accolades that they were seeking, having all of us say, oh my God, it stinks in here. You know, he just kept going on with it, and you're right. Him writing it on a card would not have stopped it. They would have continued to bring the stink bombs in the class. This is what boys do. These are boys. This is how boys think. My husband says men don't mature past the age of 12. They still think those things are hilarious. So, I mean, it is what it is. So this thing says promote regular data collection, just like you said, support schools in the regular collection of data. Oh, this is terrible. Data collecting, and you think you're going to school and you don't realize that it's happening to your kid. And there it is. Equity and social emotional learning and a culture of analysis. I mean, wow, they're so good at framing the words so it sounds good, because if you would go up to any American and say, don't you believe everyone should have equity? They're going to think you mean equality, and they're going to say, of course, but that's not the same as equality.
Yeah.
I feel like we've come so far backwards from the 1960s when people were trying to have the same rights for everybody. Didn't matter what their skin looked like. Multi-tiered level of support.
Okay, so this goes into, so these are going to be kind of the branches off of social emotional learning. So these are going to be the behavior, we call them behavior modifications. And that's exactly what they are. In fact, there is one, and it might be on the slide, that says positive behavior intervention and support. So they are, again, training behaviors, but this is where they'll take, instead of traditional disciplinary models, they love mediation. The problem with mediation is, yet the powers have to be equal. Even in a marriage, if you even if a couple is getting divorced and they go through mediation, it will only work if the power dynamic is equal. If the power dynamic is not equal, it will never work. And so what they will do is they will take bully and their victim, and they will do face-to-face mediation. But again, those power dynamics are not even close to equal. So oftentimes it will make it worse. You're taking the victim has to prove and justify their feelings to the bully. They're also doing it as ways to avoid suspension and expulsion, which is why we're seeing this huge ripple effect of behavior. It's just the kids are fighting, drugs, sex in the bathroom. This is elementary school. It's even happening. Vaping in the bathroom, heroin. We have found through, I believe, the safety grant, again, that kind of breakdown of from the district of each school of why they need these social workers and this funding, that one of the social workers at one of the high schools had mentioned that she's seeing kids on meth heroin and that she's meeting with them frequently. And of course, my question is, you're meeting with them frequently. You mean they're in the classroom? They're on campus? That kid should not be on campus, especially now that we have online learning. But they're doing it as ways to have to, the teachers today, instead of saying, this kid misbehaved and I'm sending him to the principal's office and my word is enough. Instead, it is now document, justify, and prove that this child is problematic because the teacher is assumed to be biased and racist.
No, that breaks down everything. I mean, there's at my hardware store just down the street from me. I ran into a man and I got to talking to him. He works at the hardware store. He told me he was a teacher and he loved teaching. The problem was he didn't know if he was going to ever come home at night because it was so dangerous at a school campus. This is a male teacher. Yeah. Imagine how the female teachers feel.
We had an example of, it was kindergarten. It was first grade. It was one of the two. And this was Vistazzi Elementary. So the child, according to the mother, had started to regress, was not sleeping well, not eating well, and really not wanting to go to school. Huge red flags that there's something going on.
Right.
Child finally opened up to tell her what was going on. And it was that a student had brought a knife to school and was threatening this child if the child had said anything to basically gut him, slice him down the middle. When the parents brought it up to the school of concerns, their resolution was to sit down and have the two kids face to face talk it out. Now, again, this is kindergarten, first grade, and you have a child showing signs of post-traumatic stress. They're meeting criteria for that and regression. Those are huge concerns. And to have that child who doesn't want to go to school sit down with the other individual that threatened them is sick. Mm-hmm. I don't know any psychologist in their right mind would ever say that that was the best approach. Mm. But that's what these multi-tier and this positive behavior, all of these programs, they're all very similar. That's what they're doing.
Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.